You said Tim McAuliffe set to join us. He now has to be introduced officially as best sports host, Canadian Screen
Award
winner, Tim McAuliffe. How are you, sir?
I think you have to add the Screen Award winner to the end of that sentence because it didn't sound right, just best sports host. I'll take the award and run with it because, as you guys know, shows like ours where you grind every day don't normally win awards like this, so I will take it and run as fast as I possibly will. I'll Andre the Grass this-ish, but I don't know if best sports host is very fitting.
Yeah, I'm just Googling these awards. I'm not familiar with the concept, but we'll move on from that. Tim McAuliffe joining us here.
Neither was I, my friend.
We have some people aggrieved. We have some people aggrieved that this information is coming out now. I'm still watching the show tonight. Are you still watching the show tonight? I'm there for the pageantry. I'm also there for the intrigue of side deals, which we may or may not learn throughout the day and may or may not learn on this program tonight.
Yeah, I feel like I feel the fans' pain. I understand why, like, it's spoiler alerts, right? Like, it's we've got to spoiler alerts. And those of us who watch basketball enough know that this happens all the time. Like, if you follow Adrian Wojnarowski or Shams Charania, like, I'm convinced ESPN was forced by the NBA to hire Adrian Wojnarowski because he was ruining every draft by tweeting out who was drafted before they were drafted. And the only way we can stop this is by getting him on our team. There's a lot of spoiler alerts out there, and I feel like it would have been very cool to see and the Seattle Kraken selects from the Montreal Canadiens. Pause, wait, and now we're learning that it's not Carey Price. It is Fleury. It is where we thought they might go, and that Mark Giordano, like, it's just, it feels anticlimactic.
Sure. It does. Now, for what we do for a living, it's a lot of fun to kick this around throughout the course of the day. And with some of the selections, there is the obvious, okay, what's the side deal here? Because they stayed away from player X and player Y, and they went with a player that nobody had on their radar. So what's the side deal here? It's going to be interesting to see if some of these players are flipped. Carey Price, in your opinion, did they make a mistake by not taking him?
No. No, I think there was a lot of reasons why you take Carey Price, and I'm not so sure that building a hockey team was the highest on that list. And I know that Marc-Andre Fleury worked out for Vegas, and he worked out really well for Vegas. Carey Price has been an average regular season goaltender for 4 years now, and he's only getting older, and it's $10.5 million against the cap. And I know that the recency bias points to a fresh Carey Price in a playoff bubble and or in making a run to the Stanley Cup, and full credit. But you need another goalie to do that. And they had already walked down the road of Chris Driedger. And if you were going to do that with Driedger, whose numbers in the regular season were much better, I'm not saying he's a better goalie than Carey Price. They were much better than Carey Price in the regular season. And to spend $14 million on goalies in a time where cap space is remarkably valuable, and Ron Francis said as much, I think we all should have and could have seen the writing on the wall when it comes to Carey Price. But I get why you would take him. He's a great goalie. He's a wonderful human being. He'd be a great face of the franchise, and he would probably sell a lot of jerseys. But strictly on the ice, you were going to need, I don't know, like a Jake Allen to spell him for much of the regular season if you hope to have, you know, the Carey Price that we saw in the postseason. He needs a lot of help to get there and be fresh. And some of that was just circumstance with the Habs. I mean, he had a couple injuries that allowed him to rest. And I think we saw that. Now, we also think we saw a little of him. I mean, listen, the Lightning are great, but I think we saw a little of him come back down to earth at the end of those playoffs because he was tired from carrying his team to the Stanley Cup final. And I just think if you're building a team from scratch, the soon-to-be 34-year-old with a $10.5 million cap hit, even if it's Carey Price, is very tough to start with.
Tim, I'm looking at these lists and assuming they're all correct, which I assume they are. I was more taken with the fact of the names that they didn't take. And that includes Carey Price and his massive cap hit, but it also includes Vladimir Tarasenko and his massive cap hit. It also includes Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene and their massive cap hits. So for me, I think it speaks to Ron Francis understanding how valuable his cap flexibility is. And he mentioned that, like he said, that's his biggest currency is his cap flexibility. Also, I think in the fact that other GMs were just not willing to give up a lot of assets to have Ron Francis take these players, one of the two. But to me, is that one of the things that stuck out to you, is just no big contracts so far from Ron Francis?
Yeah, and it's boring, isn't it?
I
know my fans wanted to see the Tarasenkos and the Carey Prices and the Duchenes and the Johansons and the PK Subbans of the world, but you know, logically speaking, Ron Francis has to build a winner long term. The only thing that I thought maybe, and you guys can weigh in on this, is that division isn't the greatest division in hockey, and they could be good right away. And I wondered if they were going to be seduced into that. And I felt like Ron Francis didn't take the bait. Did you not feel like that, Karen? Like there was bait out there that GMs wanted him to take, and he didn't fall for it.
Oh, absolutely. I just think it's, and I mean, maybe the ask, he was like a, you know, a one and a third, like a first and a third, and GMs are just like, no, I understand the value of having that number off my cap, but I can't also give away a first round draft pick just for you to take that. Like, I'm going to need that in a flat cap era.
Right. Or I can make that deal somewhere else. And
true,
that's what the Leafs did, right? The Leafs made a deal where they picked up a similar player to the one that they thought they were going to lose, and then ended up losing that player and lost it for less than they would have if they had asked the Kraken, at least if we're listening to the reports that are out there, like a first and a third to keep Alexander Kerfoot. And instead they paid a seventh and a prospect to lose Kerfoot. And there's a bunch of Leafs Nation that's really confused on why the new guy is gone. Like, this was simple. It was always going to be McCann or Kerfoot. Take your pick, Ron Francis, and he took McCann.
Tim McAuliffe joins us here, as he does every single Wednesday. I don't know if we're going to get Giannis in the Bucks or not. I hope we do, but I still want to talk NHL here for a second, Tim, because all of this is breaking, and there are rumors out there about possible side deals right now. Not a lot of them confirmed, but I'm intrigued by this throughout the course of the day. I mentioned that anger as well about Seattle being good that you just referenced. Hey, in this division, who knows? And there's some jealousy involved. There's some anger involved. My point all along has been, if you're upset, you should be upset with your GM or GMs that came before, because you know what they've had? They've had years to draft, develop, trade, sign, and it hasn't worked out if you're aggrieved at this point in time. Are you with that point of view, or are you more on the side of these guys shouldn't be allowed to be good?
I was aggrieved with the way that Vegas was so good, so quick, while fan bases everywhere, including Canada, had suffered through so much. And once you give that opportunity to Vegas, which is ridiculous even now that they don't lose a player to this expansion draft, like every possible break that they could get. And Ron Francis is paying for all the mistakes that were made with George McPhee, and there were a ton of them. And I think that a lot of the GMs here learned, like, they paid George McPhee to take Shea Theodore. They paid George McPhee to take Jonathan Marchessault, and these ended up being stars for his team. I mean, I truly believe that a lot of GMs were just like, all right, I'm gonna put this list out. I'm going to swallow hard and try and come out the other end as quickly as I possibly can, but we're not paying to take Alex Tuch, right? Like, some of the best Vegas players, the teams paid Vegas to take them and then would have won them back a year later if they had the chance. So Theodore, Marchessault, Tuch, those three names are living large right now, and I feel like that's what's going on. And it'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see how many side deals there are, Scotty, because I don't know if there's going to be as many as there were.
I don't know if there's going to be as many with, hey, stay away from our player side deals. I do wonder how many side deals are being made for possible acquisitions that teams have said, if you pick that player, we'll give you X to get said player.
Right.
And that's why some of these players are being selected. I think that's part of the intrigue here as well. The other part of the, hey, Vegas doesn't have to give up a player. I don't know how many owners around the National Hockey League are giving however million, how many millions back, because Vegas didn't get a cut of the money. But blame your owner. Don't blame Bill Foley for negotiating that in. And I heard the other point made that was, with the salary cap bind Vegas finds itself in, maybe they'd like Seattle to take a contract off their books.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's part of it. You know what's funny is Ron Francis is coming on the show live today, the Seattle Kraken GM, and I really have no idea what to ask him. Like, you can't comment on any of this ish that is floating right now. And, hey, you're not taking Carey Price, wink, wink, nudge. Not like, what? It's how are you building the team, Ron? Like, this could be the most awkward interview that I've ever done in my life.
Hopefully he says the same.
Yeah, so much for the best sports host, eh? Like, what the hell do I say to Ron Francis besides, I mean, I guess we can talk about how he's building the team and how he sees it. And it looks like salary cap space really means a lot to this team. And it looks like maybe there's a few, like you're saying, Sky, there's a lot of defensemen. If we're reading these reports right, as we're frantically hitting refresh on our Twitter machines and our Instagrams. But I feel like, there may be some flips in the defensemen, but other than that, like, this is just crazy. They're not spending a lot of money.
Is there a Canadian Screen Award for most awkward interview?
Yeah. Maybe it would be the Leafs with Jared McCann, Tim McCallum with Ron Francis, or the Edmonton Oilers fan base with Adam Larson now that he's gone.
Don't even start with me on that one. You lose possibly your second pairing defenseman because Klefbom's not coming back, may never come back to this organization, and Adam Larson. It seems like a nightmare for this team right now. Tim, I got to ask you about Giannis, because what we saw yesterday, it was one of the most iconic, impressive, I don't even know what words to use, in a game clinching performance. 50 points, 14 boards, 5 blocks. He was 17 of 19 from the free throw line. Bucks clinch this NBA title. How do you put into words what Giannis did yesterday?
Yeah, I kept saying to our digital team, we were contemplating what we were going to tweet out. And then, like, in the third quarter, I'm just like, we need a Giannis. We need a Giannis post, because this is what he's doing right now. What he was doing going into that game, we had already kind of planned something out. You know, the iconic moments weren't just in the 50 piece that he dropped. They were also in the block, in the alley-oop. There was just so much to see the growth of this still young player in a league where you chase championships growing into the moment. And I thought, for me, that was the coolest part of this, is that he completely grew into all this, and it didn't stop with an MVP, or it didn't stop with a max contract, where others had been stopped before. And for me, that, like, that's what will ring true throughout, is like, yes, iconic 50-point performance closeout game. Yes, iconic block that will live in NBA lore. Yes, alley-oop that we will reference all the time. But the build to this from a draft where, like, if you want me to read the names that went before him in that draft where he went 15th overall, like Anthony Bennett, Victor Oladipo, Otto Porter, Cody Zeller, Alex Len went 10 spots ahead of him. Nerlens Noel, Ben McLemore, like, you need me to stop. I know we don't have enough time. it's just amazing to see what someone can achieve when they just never stop working. And for me, that's him.
post-game, when he made the comments, and he made the comments when he signed there, he said, like, I believe in this organization. They drafted me. This is my city. I want to stay. And he signed the extension 1 year out of being free agency. And we all know the reports about him and Masai and maybe coming to Toronto. But he decided to stay in a small market team. He believed in them. And he pointed it out in his post-game comments. He said, you know what? I could have gone to a superstar team and chased the championship, but I wanted to bring it back here. Do you think this changes the NBA landscape at all? Or are we still going to see players moving for super teams to try and chase that title?
Yeah, I think there's a type of player that does that, and I think there is now a growing appreciation for the type of player that doesn't do that. But I think, listen, a lot of people accuse the Golden State Warriors of being a super team, and before they were a super team, they were the Golden State Warriors, like one of the worst franchises in all of sports, but they drafted and developed well. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson got their title and had the cap flexibility to add. Like, if you look at Toronto, Milwaukee, and Golden State over the last little while, like, they were perennial doormats. Like, they were perennial. You'd never want to go there ever. And they're NBA champions, and they've done it in a couple of different ways. And for me, that's good for the NBA. Like, if you didn't enjoy this year's NBA Finals, you're distracted by big shiny things. This was one of the best NBA Finals, and Giannis's performance was one of the best NBA Finals performances we've ever seen, and it came from markets that we don't normally see there. So for me, that makes it more interesting.
So since it's a day of spoiler alerts, will you be playing the Masai Ujiri video from the draft behind the scenes trying to get a trade done and everybody knowing he's talking about trying to get Giannis and it ultimately not coming to fruition in Milwaukee selecting the player?
Yeah, that's I feel like for Masai, like, I remember when that came out, like, it looked so good on Masai. Like, that, I mean, listen, there were 14 teams that passed on Giannis Antetokounmpo. Although I will say that the Toronto Raptors draft and development has been wonderful. But I felt like that video was very smartly placed by the Raptors organization and maybe one Masai Ujiri.
We knew. Give the man all the money. Hey, Timmy, there's stuff happened fast and furious here, so you're going to have to get that instituted into your show today. We will let you go now. Congratulations on the award. I know you don't focus too much on it. It's a reflection of the team as well. Thank you very much for another award-winning interview with us.
Yeah, I've always said it was always award eligible. Now I got one.
Yeah, you do, and you're not letting go. Just like Giannis, you're going to be going through the drive-thru and ordering your... What did he order?
50 pieces.
50 pieces
50
today?
50 pieces.
Yeah, 50 pieces. Not 51. I want to make sure there's 50, and the trophies and the seatbelt in the back. Thanks, buddy.
Be well, guys. Take care.